It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 25-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You know, we talked so many times about people leaving their homes and not paying their mortgages. They lost their jobs during the crisis and all of that. And yet it seems from the latest information that debt collectors can call years after the foreclosure. Tell us about that.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but these mortgage lenders are contacting the homeowners and attempting to collect the debt. You know, a lot of it was forgiven as part of the short sale or foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using this legal tool, what's called deficiency judgment. And lenders can ensure that the borrowers, they're actually going after those that we call them zombie-like debts, where, you know, there was a lot of intentional foreclosure, if
yeah,
you will.
Yeah, people just weren't paying because they thought they could get away with it.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you're truly legitimate, I don't think you have much to worry about. But one of the biggest mortgage giants, Fannie Mae, is the most aggressive in pursuing this deficiency judgment. To give you an example, there were 595,000 foreclosures between, let's say, 2010 and 2012, and they have sent debt collectors like 293,000 of them.
So this is a good time to be a debt collector.
It's a great time to be a debt collector.
I mean, there was a good time when it was good to be a lawyer who did foreclosures. I think that business is waning, so now I think those lawyers are going to probably move into debt collection.
Right, and this is according to a report by the Inspector General. So, mm-hmm. You know, this is what we're looking at, what took place between 2010 and 2012. But the bottom line is be aware that you may, you know, receive a phone call or letters. They can come after you using this legal tool, what they refer to as deficiency judgment.
All right. Well, that's good to know if you're in that situation. Also, the demographics, we're changing subjects here. The demographics are really changing. There are now more singles in American culture than there were in the past. In 1976, 37% of adults were single. As of this year, that has bloomed to over 50%, 50.2%, or 125 million singles in our population. How is that going to change housing?
You know, it is going to change housing. One of the basic things is the floor plans. You know, they want to make it more flexible for this type of living. For example, builders are taking into consideration communal sheds where you can put your lawnmower or snow blowers, you know, bicycles, that sort of thing. Even cars can be rented as needed versus being owned. This would be more like in city areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you firsthand, I am seeing more and more singles purchasing homes. Another key factor in all of this is affordability of these properties. Because, Steve, keep in mind, you know, double earner income, you know, is going to be able to afford a lot more than a
sure,
single person.
Sure, absolutely.
So that is going to change the environment for all of us. I mean, there's just other things that they have to take into consideration as they're building these new.
I think millennials are a bit different, too. You know, they're going to job hop more often, and friends will be buying houses together. So, you know, there'll be a lot more flexibility within the home, kind of like, as you wrote here in your notes, the lifestyles are going to change as easily as picking your favorite Keurig coffee flavor.
Right.
You know?
And you're also going to think about the seniors. That's another whole
yeah, get
whole
into
different
that
market. Well, seniors have a whole different set of needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of seniors, they would like to stay in their home and live there and die there, you know, forever. But reality is many of them can't afford to keep their homes. They want to move into something smaller, more affordable, but they have additional needs. Once they, you know, are unable to drive, access to public transportation,
sure,
be close to the markets and that sort of thing.
Many of them are still stuck out in the suburbs. They're going to have a car, and that may not really fit what they need.
Right, right. So there's a lot of change that's going to take place in housing.
Yeah. Well, the world is changing, and housing is going to be no different. As a matter of fact, housing will be a reflection of that change. So just look to housing to see how things have changed, I guess.
That's right.
You know, before the crash in the real estate market, especially in this area, you saw a lot of what are called condo conversions, where you had rental apartments where the owner of the apartment building wanted to cash out or wanted to increase their cash flow. So they would turn them into condos and then sell them. And then that went by the wayside. Is that back?
It is. The condo conversions are back. And we're seeing a large activity along the East Coast, more so than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And these groups that do this, they're looking to seek like a 20% return on their investment.
Yeah.
So if the numbers are there, you're going to see these in your area, depending on where you live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw it a lot back in 2005. It kind of signaled the top of the market, in my view.
It did, absolutely. Yeah. And then we saw those condo conversions stop in midstream and then just sit there.
All right. Well, I have a question as we wrap this up. Terry Story's Real Estate Survival Guide. This week's question is, I just attended a 3-day real estate investor training course. There was an offer to attend a mentor training program that included an impressive software package. And this is for investors that are looking to flip homes. Is there a way to get the same type of software package without spending a lot of money?
You don't need software package. What you really need is personal skill, market knowledge. It's really important if you're going to be an investor to know what you're getting into. Are you familiar with property values?
Yeah.
Do you know the cost of repair? Are you associated with people that have those skills? And you're going to need to be able to deal with, you know, buyers, sellers, real estate agents, investors, appraisers, attorneys, lenders. Those are the skills that you need, not a software program.
There's no shortcut to this because you're operating a real business.
That's right. It's boots to the ground. You really need to know what you're getting into because you can get easily burned.
So when you go to these meetings and they make it sound so easy, and I remember these meetings from years ago, the no money down, and they'd get up in front and they'd show you actually the checks that they'd received from flipping homes, and all they have to do is go in and find sellers, as if it were so easy. And many of these people, of course, got burned because there is no easy way to make money in this area. You've got to know the business. Even if you buy a property, then you've got to fix it up a little bit. You've got to know what those cost. There are so many variable factors. Final words?
I couldn't agree more. Investing in real estate should be for those that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to see the repeat of what we saw back in the height of the market where everyone wanted and became an investor.
Right. My guest, Terry Story, as always, our real estate roundup segment. Terry can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.